You're listening to The Family Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Well, parents, I am excited over the next several weeks to explore a book with you. We're going to go through it. I might put some things together. I might combine a few chapters, but it's the book by Paul Tripp called 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family. It's a great book. It's been helpful to me. It's been helpful to reread a few times, so I really encourage you to get the book and to use this podcast as kind of, I'm just kind of giving an overview and some introductory ideas. Reading along with the book would be fantastic. And honestly, as I'm sure many of you already know or are experiencing, it's like parenting is a lifelong adventure. And I'm sure there's times where you're feeling like, this is great and easy. And then there's been other times where it's like, this is the hardest thing I've ever done in the world. But what I love about this book is Paul Tripp reframes parenting rather than it being like, oh, the weight of parenting, oh, I'm such a failure, or my kids are failures, or the pressure is too much, or I don't think I have what it takes to be a good parent, all those things that we kind of carry around and just weigh us down. He's reorienting and recentering the goal of parenting through the lens of the gospel, that through a relationship with Jesus, first and foremost as a parent, is going to change you and your heart. But that ultimately our job to shepherd our children's hearts to know Jesus, to embrace the gospel message, to recognize that they're broken, that they need a sinner, that they can have a new identity in Christ, that the old way, the sin nature, can be subdued by the power of the Spirit in their lives. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to explore these principles that he's come up with through that lens. And maybe for some of you, this is what you need to hear. Maybe some of you are just trying to go by survival mode every day, that this is a philosophy that carries you from infancy up to high school of how to view your role as a parent and how not to view your role as a parent. Here's how Paul Tripp says it. I'm afraid that parenting confusion and dysfunction often begin with parents having an ownership view of parenting. It's seldom expressed and often unconscious, but it operates on this perspective of parenting. These children belong to me, so I can parent them the way I see fit. Now, no parent actually says it like that, but it tends to be the perspective that most of us fall into. In the press of overwhelming responsibilities and a frenetic schedule, we lose sight of what parenting is really about. And here's how he would describe what the role of parenting is. Every child in every home, everywhere on the globe, belongs to the one who created him or her. Children are God's possession for his purpose. That means that his plan for parents is that we would be his agents in the lives of these ones that have been formed into his image and entrusted to our care. The word that the Bible uses for this intermediary position is ambassador. It really is the perfect word for what God has called parents to be and to do. The only thing an ambassador does, if he's interested in keeping his job, is to faithfully represent the message, methods, and character of the leader who has sent him. So, parents, the idea here is that we are entrusted with these precious kids, but the pressure and the ability to be the change agent in our kids' lives is not dependent on us. We are the intermediary. We're the ambassador, that we're representing God and his character and his design and his rules, and we're passing those on to our kids, but we recognize that we don't have the ability to do that heart change. Only God can do that, but we point our kids to him. Ultimately, parenting is not first about what we want for our children or from our children, but about what God and his grace has planned to do through us in our children. Can you see how that perspective shift could give you a huge sigh of relief? That God has a plan for this, and that parents have a role to play in the plan, but they aren't the only ones in the plan. You know, that as an ambassador, we're entrusted with our children, but God is going to lead and guide us and give us the things that we need. And he has created our kids for a purpose for him. And so for us then, it's about we're being entrusted with something. So yes, that's a high calling. We'll talk about that in a minute. But we aren't going to be asked to do things that only God can do. I hope that can be kind of a refreshing, at least starting point, as we start to learn more about this. You know, here's what Tripp would say. How do you know if you're more of an owner parent versus an ambassador parent? And a couple of things that he says is like, well, a good question to ask yourself is, where do you get your identity? We'll explore this more in a later podcast, but some parents, like your identity, your meaning and your purpose is your kids. So there's pressure on your kids to measure up to whatever that is. Or you become a very insecure parent when you feel like you're not doing a good job, which then, of course, impacts the way you treat your kids and impacts your ability to be a good parent because your identity is wrapped up in what your kids are giving you. Versus an ambassador perspective would be like, my identity is about being a shepherd for my kids, but they aren't what define me. God defines me, and this role that I have as a parent is a role that I have, a purpose that I have, but it's not the only thing that defines. I hope that that can make sense. Another thing is, are you looking at your kids and your parenting ability and saying, I'm doing this, my financial support, my emotional energy, I'm in control of what's happening. An ambassador mentality would say, only God can change their heart. I'm just going to be faithful to what God asks of me as a parent. But I recognize that it's not my words, my actions, and my money that are producing the ultimate change. Another question along with identity is like success. Are you feeling like bolstered and feel your self-esteem is in when your kids do well, when they have accomplishments, when they win awards, then you're feeling really good about yourself? Or when they're struggling and you have wayward kids, do you go into like a deep depression? Because again, this idea of the owner parent is like you feel like as the parent, you have a direct impact on the end result of your kids. Whereas an ambassador is saying, no, I have a role to play, but there's an ultimate authority and it's God. And I'm just part of the plan of shaping these kids. But God is the ultimate heart changer. So those are just a couple of things to keep in mind, that parenting really is less about managing just the outcomes and just looking at behaviors, and really more accurately reflecting just the heart of God in your kids, recognizing that he's going to be the one that does the changing in the end. So that's just kind of a little bit of an intro and a setup, and I want you to keep that in your mind, the ambassador role versus an owner parent, where you feel like it's controlled totally and completely by you versus I'm just part of the plan. Okay. So the first principle that he talks about is the principle of calling. And here's what it is. Nothing is more important in your life than being one of God's tools to form a human soul. Now, for many parents, I know this is true for me. We feel like family and those active parenting years are like a season to survive rather than a calling to steward. And we think once we get through this stage, life's going to calm down and be easier and I'm going to be a happier person. I mean, I remember that many times when my kids were young, you know, where it's hard to find a babysitter, so you're never really getting out. You don't have a lot of adult interaction. You just feel a little bit trapped by the responsibility, right? And how much your kids depend on you. And I just remember feeling lonely. And I remember thinking, gosh, I can't wait till my kids are old enough to have a babysitter or stay home by, sorry, not have a babysitter, be able to stay home by themselves so I don't have to have a babysitter, right? That we kind of can have that mentality where it's like, just survive it, just get through it, right? And again, to what Tripp is calling us to is that if we see parenting as this calling, this special stewardship opportunity we have in the lives of our kids, then it's not just about getting through it. It's not just about survival mode. It's about purpose. It's about being on mission with God. And that can change our attitude. It can change our energies. Here's something powerful to remember, that God chose you as the parent for your kids. So their precious little personalities are matched with you and your personality and your strengths and your weaknesses. Like, it's all part of God's plan. It's not by accident you end up with the kind of kiddos that you have. And it doesn't mean that when we understand the special calling that we have, that we get to partner with God in shaping the heart of our kiddos, that it doesn't mean you feel fully equipped for the job. I think that's important for me to say that. I know I needed to hear that. But what it does mean is that God promises that he's going to be with us. He's going to give us what we need. He's going to provide. He's going to give us wisdom and insight. I mean, I remember when we brought Kenzie home from the hospital, our firstborn, I was like, what in the world? These people just let us take this baby home? I don't even know what I'm doing. I felt completely inadequate, right? It took me some time to get my legs under me, but God gave me what I needed and we figured it out. Maybe you can relate to that. I also remember as a parent, the first time my daughter came home and was like left out at recess, and it like triggered in me the memories that I had of when I had felt left out. And I remember thinking, do I have what it takes to be a parent? Do I know how to respond to this, or am I going to break my child by my reaction to this unjust act, right? Like, We have this calling from the Lord, but we can't forget that we're not left to our own devices, that God's going to be with us. He's going to meet us where we need. We don't need to panic. In fact, Deuteronomy 6 is really the picture that I want us to have in our mind when we think about the calling, when we think about the role of being an ambassador, what Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7 paints for us. Here's what it says. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Parents, this is the picture for us. If we want to have a gospel-centered approach to parenting, if we want to remove the pressure of feeling like a failure or that it's all on us, let's start with this picture. What it paints for us, that we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart, meaning parents, it starts with us. You want to know how to be better equipped as a parent and to know what it means to shepherd your child's heart and to understand this calling that God's given us as parents? Build your own relationship with the Lord. Spend time reading His word. Spend time in prayer. Understand who God is and His character so that you can better reflect that with your kids. Because then it goes on to say, then you're going to teach your children these things. You're going to do it by example. I mean, I remember vividly my mom, every day that I woke up as a child, she was in the living room reading her Bible. And that stuck with me because you know what? I do that to this day. And my daughter is doing that now. There's something about when our relationship with the Lord is right and we're modeling what it means to be a pursuer of God, our kids see it and they pay attention to it and they start to get a picture of what faith looks like in action. And then we're teaching our kids every day that it's, you know, we're talking about it when you're at home and when you're walking along the road, that it's something that's a part of your family life all the time. We talk about this a lot in our Pursue God resources, that ultimately, parents, you are the shepherd of your children, right? That's what Tripp's talking about in this book. Our job is to point our kids to Jesus so that when they put their trust in Jesus, that Holy Spirit will do that work of change in their heart. That's not up to you, but our job is to point our kids to know the Lord, to trust in His character, to understand His word, to understand the right and wrong that the Bible speaks to and why it's for our good. So the picture of Deuteronomy 6, that's as parents, that's what our mission and calling is. Here's what Tripp says in the book. Your work as a parent is a thing of extreme value because God has designed that you would be the principal, consistent, and faithful tool in His hands for the purpose of creating God consciousness and God submission in your children. You can't create this yourself, only God can. But you have been appointed to be an irreplaceable tool in His powerful hands. You see, at the core of what God designed human beings to be is the acknowledgement of His existence and surrender to authority. Those are the things that He meant to rule the heart of everyone who ever lived, and your kids will never be what they're supposed to be or do if they lack God consciousness. It's the essential thing that must be developed in the heart of every child. And the Deuteronomy passage says that that task was assigned by God to parents. He goes on to say, your church was not designed to replace you, but to assist you and equip you for this essential work. Your government was never designed to replace you, but to protect you as you do this core work. The school near you will never replace you. The very best, it will support you as you do the work that only you can do. You could argue that the chief reason God put parents in the children's lives is that they would know Him. The most important thing that a child could ever learn about is the existence, character, and plan of God. If you know this fact, it will alter the way you understand and interpret every other fact in your life. So to kind of sum up this principle of calling is there is nothing more important than being one of God's tools to form a human soul. And so parents, I hope that you can hear that. That it's not ownership, it's not you controlling everything, but rather you recognizing that you're a tool that God is using and that you're directing and pointing your kids to know the Lord, to understand His character and His love for them. And so that kind of transitions then into this next principle, which is the principle of grace. And here's how Tripp says it. God never calls you to a task without giving you what you need to do it. He never sends you without going with you. Now, to me, that's a beautiful gift, right? Because I know a lot of us are like, okay, well, this is a nice idea. I get that I have this calling and I feel the pressure of parenting. Okay, I'm trying to understand and wrestle with the difference between being an owner versus an ambassador. But this principle of grace is so important for us to know that we're not left to our own devices here, that God's going to give us what we need. Here's what Paul says in the book. This grace reaches you in your darkest parenting moments. This grace addresses your feeling of inability. This grace touches you when you feel like you're at the end of your wisdom. This grace is yours for the taking when you're walking down the hallway and you know that you've just blown it. This grace reaches you when your child seems rebellious and hard-hearted and you don't know what to do. This grace touches you in the moments of deep parental regret. It gives you a reason to get up in the morning and to be able to sleep at night, no matter what you're facing at the moment. Can you see what a difference that makes when we understand the grace of God? Right? I mean, again, like the whole thing here is that through the lens of the gospel message. So if you understand the gospel message, then you know that God's grace is a free gift to us. There was nothing we could do to earn it. He gave it to us because he loves us, and we just have to accept the gift. So even with our kids, parents, we have to have this principle of grace in mind, first for ourselves, recognizing that we are broken, that we make mistakes, but then to be able to extend that grace to our kids and in our parenting, that our posture changes. Again, when you go back to the owner kind of parenting, it's like you've got your thumb on your kid and it's like, just perform the way I want you to perform. Just do what I'm telling you to do. But there's nothing about the heart to that. It's not teaching them about why they should be obedient. Why does it matter that I should tell the truth? It's just perform, do what I'm asking you to do. And this principle of grace is so important for us to remember, because our approach then to how we go with our kids, especially when they disappoint and disobey, makes a big difference in the trust that we build with them and really the attitude that we have towards parenting, that it isn't like this duty and this obligation. And it's like, oh my gosh, why are you such a disobedient kid? Why can't you learn the lesson the first time? It's so annoying. But rather to be like, listen, I'm a broken person. God's had to be patient with me. I'm learning things along the way. And as your parent, I'm going to help you too. And I'm going to be gracious towards you. So within this principle, then the first and foremost, it's understanding our own brokenness, right? Colossians 3, 12 through 13 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with what? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Parents, in this principle of grace, we have to be at the starting point of remembering what God has done for us, that Jesus has forgiven us. We need to be forgiving. Our posture needs to be one of forgiveness and grace and compassion and kindness and humility, right? Even towards our kids. Ephesians 3:20 says, now to him is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to remember God is the one doing the work. We are not alone in this endeavor, that we are broken, our kids are broken, and we figure this thing out together, and we approach our kids with the same beautiful grace that God has given us. And honestly, parents, I remember some of my most impactful parenting moments where I feel like my kids were on the same kind of line with me was when I went to them to say, I messed up and I need to apologize. I raised my voice. I lost control there. I got angry, and that's wrong. And because I'm teaching my kids self-control all the time, right? One of the fruits of the Spirit. And so when I had moments where I was not reflecting that, me taking ownership of that and confessing that and asking for forgiveness from my kids, those are some of the best moments we had. Again, it was coming to my kids from a place of a grace standpoint, that I'm broken and you're broken, but this is what through the gospel message, through God working in us, that sanctification process, we can grow and learn. And what a difference that is than looking at our kids just wanting them to perform or have to measure up to some standard. And then when they don't, we get angry and belligerent. And it's just, you're not performing and doing what I'm asking you to do. And honestly, parents, what we need to remember is if we don't approach parenting discipline with a heart of grace, what happens is we become very black and white, we become very legalistic in our parenting, and what it teaches our kids is, what do I need to do to get out of this? It might be like, okay, I'm going to obey you in this moment, but my heart is rebellion. My heart is resentment towards you and your rules, and you're mean to me and you're condescending. Whereas if we approach things with grace, it creates an environment where our kids can be like, okay, I messed up. My parents didn't overreact to that. sure there's a consequence for whatever that was, but I feel like my parents love me, they care about me, and they're going to work with me. It's a very different environment that you're creating. Here's what Tripp says of the book. Instead of approaching your kids with self-righteous anger, I move toward them as a sinner in need of grace, needing to confront a sinner in need of grace. God's plan is to make his invisible grace visible to children by sending parents of grace to give grace to children who need grace. And parents who know they need grace tend to want to give grace to children who are just like them. So this principle of grace is this idea that God is with us, God's going to give us what we need, but that our heart posture is we recognize that we're broken and our kids are broken. I just want to end with this beautiful picture from Hebrews chapter 4, where it says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Man, how awesome is it that the God of the universe, perfect, allows us through Jesus access to him, that we can approach him with boldness and confidence because of his love for us, because of his grace for us. That needs to be our attitude, parents, with our kids, that they're able to approach us, that we aren't going to withhold love from them because they disappointed or disobeyed, that they can approach us, that just like Paul said, that as a parent, we're sinners who need grace, our kids are sinners who need grace. And as God has given us grace, we need to extend that to our kids. So it's starting to develop this understanding for them of how God's love works as they see it in work as the way we love as parents and how God will build on that. So just to conclude today, we talked about the principle of calling and we talked about the principle of grace. The principle of calling is there's nothing more important in your life than being one of God's tools to form a human soul. And the principle of grace is that God never calls you to a task without giving you what you need. He never sends you without going with you. So in these first couple weeks, I just want that to be the prayer of your heart, parents, that you shift that mindset from like behavior modification or just do what I'm telling you to do to being that ambassador that recognizes you're a tool in the hand of the Lord. You're directing and pointing your kids to the Lord, to his truth, and every conversation and everything that you're doing, and that you can approach these situations and the shepherding of their heart and the discipline that has to go along with that from a place of grace, from love, from patience and kindness. And that's going to set you up for building trust and just having an environment in your home where parenting can feel less like a burden and more of just like I'm on a purposeful mission. And some days are going to be the easier than others, but God's with me in every situation. So I hope this was helpful for you today. We'll come back together next time and we'll tackle the next couple principles. But pray through this, read the book, keep reflecting on it, and we'll come back next time to learn some other great principles for parenting.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.